You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Howdy, howdy. Travis Kelce's in the news a lot today. Guess he was getting jealous of Patrick getting all the attention yesterday.
Oh, he is not. Stop it.
From USA Today Sports, the Kansas City Chiefs enter the divisional matchup with the Houston Texans with home field advantage and experience in their favor. Pro Bowl tight end Travis Kelce, appearing on Monday's Pat McAfee show, my favorite.
You love that guy.
To discuss this year's team and being aware of the doubters heading into postseason play, quote, "We're finding different and more ways to win early on and throughout the season. I think last year we dealt with finding ways to lose. You can learn from both. But learning from the games you win is a whole lot more fun. I think we have a lot of confidence in this team and a lot of guys are willing to go the extra mile, man. We've definitely heard all the chatter, guys like Rex Ryan saying this team can't win in the playoffs, and he's seen it before, and we hear everything, but at the same time, we know what's real and what's in this building."
I say bring all the doubt that you can bring.
Yep.
Let's question the boys as many times as we can, other teams and analysts.
He also said yesterday, this is from Fox 4 on the Pat McAfee show, "I am fired up. I am feeling 22 all over again, baby. Let's go. I am ready to rock and roll, man. The biggest thing for me is trusting Coach Reed, man. He's been doing this a long time.
Man.
I just looked it up. There are seats available for Saturday. It's going to be cold. You don't have to break the bank to be there. I don't think they're going to be the greatest seats, but there are seats available.
$140 if you want upper
before
deck.
Fees. Before
row
fees, but yes.
42. And row 42 is the last row.
It's up there.
So you can look behind you and see downtown.
Yeah. You can see the parking lot and you can see the field. But $140 is not bad, and it's like $28 for fees.
You know where it's real warm, Sam, is in front of my gas-powered fireplace.
Yeah, it is.
In Western Shawnee, where you don't have to stack the logs. They're already stacked.
# too good for wood.
Do you hire somebody to come over and turn on the gas?
It's a light switch right next to the chair.
Does it light itself?
Yes.
So you don't have to put a flame to it?
No, I just flip.
Wow,
I flip a
fancy
light switch and
it's super warm in the company suite, and they stock my favorite red wine.
Yeah, how's that going?
Are you flexing your VIP?
Good to know.
Ness.
I have not been to a game this year.
Neither have I.
I didn't go to one this year or last year.
I'm just saying.
I haven't been to a game in 2025.
If there are seats available or someone comes down with scurvy or...
Good to know.
Hepatitis.
You don't think that they, save all the seats in the suite for... I don't know, clients and advertisers?
No, I think that they do, but sickness happens.
Huh.
You know, someone comes down with something. We don't want that spreading around in a small,
absolutely
confined
not
space. I'm just offering.
Then we find another client.
I would go if they need someone to fill the room.
Okay.
I got hacked this morning, and I've written about this on my Facebook page because I don't want anyone falling for fake Dana, and there is a profile that I have turned into Facebook, but Dan... I was going through some of the comments on my work page this morning at 9 o'clock, and I noticed that I had commented to one of our listeners and asked him, "Where are you from?"
Mm.
I assure you that that was not me. And when I saw the comment, I was like, "All right, did I leave my, Facebook page up at work?" And
somebody playing a prank.
Yeah, I hovered on the comment.
Yeah, but that's like 2 years ago prank.
Well, and I feel like someone on my work page would not have started, interacting with listeners. That's
right.
That's a bridge too far.
Yeah.
So I click on the page and it says page not available.
Mm.
They've blocked me. The scammers have blocked me from the fake Dana page. So in a roundabout way, I figure out a way to pull this page up. And what they did was they ripped off our photo, Scott, the one of you and me and Sam. They ripped
the one
off
in the throne or the nice one?
The nice one.
Okay.
They ripped off that photo, started a brand new page called Dana Wright KMBZ, and then they started systematically going down and replying to our listeners with things like, "Where are you from? Where do you work?" So I immediately turned that in. I've told everybody that is not me. Please check that it's the Dana page. I've got the little blue check mark. You know that this is me. And I would not be like, "Hey, where do you work?" I mean, it's just like a creepy thing in a random post to ask. I bring that up only because that scam is happening. And then within the last 2 weeks, two of my friends have warned on Facebook about this scam. And one of my friends lost money to this, okay? The post reads from someone purporting to be you. Season's greetings, everyone. We are conducting a sale of personal items due to my uncle's move to a care facility, which requires significant downsizing. To manage this transition smoothly, items are being sold on a first-come, first-served basis. I'll be out of town assisting with his move and won't be home until the 15th of January. To reserve an item, a deposit is necessary, and this ensures that the item will be held for you until I return, at which point you can view
deposit necessary
side
scam
on the purpose. So here's the deal. One of my friends that I play pickleball with posted that today, and about 3 weeks ago, a good friend of the show lost money to this scam with another friend that we share in common, Scott. It doesn't even matter who it was, but a woman that we both know was hacked and posted that. And then another woman we both know in Kansas City
put down a deposit.
Put down a $1,000 deposit for the sale of a car. They were looking for their daughter for college. And it comes across like it is you. Look, my mother is in the hospital. Yeah. You know, it's that.
If anybody asks you to put down a deposit on anything on Facebook, it is automatically a scam.
But it looks like it's our friend. It really did look like it was her page.
I would just broaden that and say if anybody asks you for anything on Facebook and they have umpteen other ways to contact you, assume it's a scam.
Mm-hmm. I would. Or here's a novel idea. Mm-hmm. Don't buy anything on Facebook.
Well,
like a couch.
But there you go. It does. Nice. They're crafty. The ne'er-do-wells are crafty. And we are all getting to the age where some of our relatives are transitioning into, you know, I don't want to say a nursing home, but assisted living or condos. You know, with
the confusion era.
There is that. Oh, look, I saw her mom was in the hospital. Yeah, okay. And the list of the items, Scott, was very believable. It was like, we have a 2024 Toyota Camry with 36,000 miles on it. We have you know, it listed this stuff, an armoire.
Why do you need a deposit?
Because you're not getting a car.
Yeah.
You're not going to get your money back either.
I think what I would say is if you're going to go down that road, text the person that you know directly and say, hey, I saw your post on Facebook.
So the person who got scammed knew this was not like
no, they knew them.
They both knew you, but they didn't know each other.
They were also friends on Facebook. It would be like
then that person wouldn't need the deposit.
It would be like our friend Carrie and our friend, you know,
Libby,
except that's a bad example. They know each other.
Well, you just said these two people knew each other.
Loosely, yes.
So we know each other. You don't need a deposit. I'll be over tomorrow.
Yeah, just hold it for me. Also, I will say educate yourself before you go doing anything on the secondary marketplace. That is not how car deals go on the secondary marketplace.
Right.
Literally ever. You show up, you have cash.
Yeah.
If you like the car, you hand the cash over, mm-hmm. you sign the document, and you leave with the car.
I'm going to be honest. I would never sell or buy a car online ever.
Well, that's the problem with all of this stuff online.
Yeah. Here's a cashier's check. Okay.
They are really good at tricking people and really good at making you think, oh, here's a deal. Okay, here's a deal. I gotta take action now.
But see, you think I've ruined your life because I've made you somewhat skeptical. But being skeptical is what keeps you from falling for these traps.
It's true.
Because I don't trust anybody online as far as I can throw them. At all.
Even if it's your own mother, because she may have been hacked.
I would say, Mom, do you really need $1,000 from me for the deposit? I'll be by tomorrow.
And then she would say, what are you talking about? That's
correct.
Not me.
My grandfather gets hacked 3 times a week.
Oh.
And the number of times that I get a Facebook message from him that reads, have you seen yourself in this video?
Okay.
With a link?
Yeah.
That was like 10 years ago.
I could pull it up right now. I probably have 85 of those messages from him, and it's the only message I've ever received from him through Facebook, because if he needs to contact me,
he'll call you.
He has my cell phone number.
913-586-7798. I always find these Facebook marketplace or whatever it's called scams fascinating.
But this one is particularly bad because they are stealing profiles, and then the people that are victimized are your friends.
So how did they steal yours? Because it was Dana Wright KMBZ.
Yep.
They cloned it.
They cloned it.
Did they put an extra space between Wright and KMBZ?
Yeah, I mean, it's my photo with you and Sam, and then the overall banner photo is just clouds.
Okay, but the name on the Facebook profile has to be slightly different, otherwise they would say that name's already taken.
It does not.
It does not. It says no. Dana Wright KMBZ.
Now, the specific handle, meaning what goes up in the link in the address bar, because you can find anybody's Facebook page through the address bar on your browser.
Okay.
And so it would be facebook.com/SamStevie. And that would take you to my Facebook page. That portion has to be slightly different. But the name appears on the account, you can have 750 Scott Parkses out there.
Let's not remind everybody Scott they can Parks. Do that.
Well, I guess you're right, because how many John Smiths are in the world?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like with everything, you've got to take a moment, pause, look around at stuff like that, the URL, the tone of the conversations. Why are they sending me this weird-looking URL link? ZZZJJHJC. Pause. Take a moment.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. Here on Dana and Parks. Her conversion is complete. We were just talking about how I've ruined Dana and turned her into a skeptic. I just showed her a Facebook reel that I was watching of a gigantic tuna being hoisted up onto the deck of a ship.
There's some massive fish.
And I said to Dana, I never realized tuna were so big. I mean, this thing is huge.
It's the size of a three-story building.
And I turned the video to her, and she goes, oh, my God. She goes, that's not real.
Good eye, Dana. And good eye.
And I looked at her, and I go, aha, a skeptic.
By the way, there was a tuna the size of a Harley Davidson that sold recently for $1.3 million in Japan.
In Japan, that's right. That was 2 weeks ago, right?
From the text line, 3 months ago, my brother and sister-in-law bought her disabled brother a used car off of Facebook Marketplace. They did everything right, even licensed the vehicle, sending off for a new title. Less than a week later, that car ended up being stolen. They made a police report and insurance claim, and it reappeared for sale by the same guy.
Really? God. He stole the car back?
He was caught.
Really? 913-586-7798. David in Eudora. Hello, David.
Hey, hello.
Hi.
Hey, we're trying to sell a car right now on Facebook Marketplace. I've had about a half a dozen people kind of lead you on. Yeah, we want to see it and stuff like that. And when it comes down to, you know, coming and looking at it, like, oh, well, we want you to get to this vehicle history report first, and they'll send you a link.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, like, just put in the name of it, it comes. It's a real website, but it's, like, $80. But then when you, like Dan said, if you, like, go and look at it, it's a lot easier on a PC and look at the actual address of it. It's off by a couple letters. And what they do is they get you to put in your credit card information and stuff to get this report, and then they have it, and they steal it from you.
Oh!
And they won't take a Carfax. Like, we've got a Carfax. Like, no, my mechanic said don't trust that. You know, they come up with all kinds of excuses for it.
Did you fall for it or almost fall for it?
No, I'm pretty skeptical whenever somebody sends me a link wanting to, like, oh, click on this to do it. So it's just investigate it some more. And you can. And then I Googled it and found out that there was some, you know, people kind of reported people trying to scam you that way.
Huh.
I had one go as far as, like, yeah, I'll come see it. And I was like, okay, meet me at the Casey's in Eudora. And they're like, where's that at? And I was like, I sent him the address. And I said, well, where are you? And he actually sent me an address close by of a friend of ours. I knew it was. I was like, okay, this is a scam.
I'm in Eudora. Well, thanks for the tip, David. Appreciate it, man.
Yep.
I will say it's much more difficult weeding out the scammers when you're trying to sell something on Facebook Marketplace than when you're trying to purchase it.
Why? Because you want to believe it because you're trying to sell
Correct.
It?
Correct.
Yeah.
I tried to sell my motorcycle a couple of different times and got nothing but scammers and just gave up.
So every year, Lake Superior State University releases its Banished Words List.
Okay.
They are out for the words that should be banned in 2025.
Okay. Oh, and some of these are cringe.
Cringe is one of them. In fact, it's number one.
So cringe.
That's exactly what it says. Cringe is so cringe.
Okay.
It is overstate its welcome, says Lake Superior State University. Game changer.
That's a real game changer.
100%.
The university noted that nearly everything has been labeled a game changer. And now nothing is a game changer if everything is a game changer. Era.
Era?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Unless you are Taylor Swift, leave it behind.
Because everybody, because of the Taylor Swift Eras tour, has said, I'm in my...
Got it.
One example is, I'm in my fatherhood era.
My brat girl era.
She's in her pottery making era.
Or potty era.
Well, maybe she's a...
toddler or 90. I don't know if we'll have time.
IYKYK.
If you know, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, not sorry.
Okay.
A half-hearted apology masquerading as bold honesty. 100%.
I agree.
Sam, I don't know this word. Skibidi?
Skibidi.
Skibidi.
Skibidi?
What does it mean?
I don't have a true definition on top of mine. I've never used that. It's in reference to a toilet that a guy's head pops out of.
Okay.
Skibidi.
Skibidi.
Utilize.
That's just a word that we use.
We utilize.
Didn't realize it was being overused.
Okay.
Says here it's a classic offender. The university argues that longer is not always better, and there's no reason to complicate a sentence by utilizing this word when use works just as well. And the last word they want banished, period.
Full stop.
Mm-hmm.
No cap.
There is no need to verbally punctuate your point, period. Overuse has turned this into a period we are ready to end. According to the university.
From the text line, I am wearing my In My Teacher Era shirt today.
It'll be the last day. According to Lake Superior State University. Quick break here at the bottom of the hour. He is Sam Stevie, the third. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
So sometimes life imitates art, that imitates life, that imitates art. We were talking on the program yesterday about a story of horrifying mistaken identity.
Oh.
Two men are in the hospital in a shared room. They were roommates in the hospital, mm-hmm. and the staff mixed up the men. Patient A, Bob. Patient B, Bill. And one was nearing death. They called the family and said, you know, it's time.
They called Bob's family.
They unplugged the wrong patient.
And Bill was the one who crossed the Rainbow Bridge.
You know, for a lot of us, the takeaway from that story, as awful as that is, was, wait, why is anyone still sharing a hospital bed? And I made the argument that that there's no way we're still doing that. And a friend of mine who works at a hospital said, oh, God, we stopped doing that years ago for this very reason. There's just privacy issues. And Sam, I think you had said, oh, I think in some hospitals we still share. Mm-hmm. Some of you weighed in, whatever. I go on about my life last night. We go to play pickleball, and one of my buddy's wives was having surgery yesterday. And I see him and I go, oh, my gosh, how is she doing? Mm-hmm. And he goes, the weirdest thing happened. Like, she's recovering. She's doing all right. But she has a roommate. And I go, no. We just talked about this on the air 2 hours ago. And he goes, I was not listening to your show. But I'm here to tell you, she very much has a roommate. And it has been so awkward. And so I start talking to him about the topic yesterday. And I go, I'm just going to say it. I'm not going to say which hospital. She happens to be recovering in Olathe.
Well, that kind of narrows it down.
And I said, wait a minute, please walk me through this. And I'm not going to say what kind of surgery, it doesn't matter, but she's going to be in 3 days.
Okay.
He goes, it has been so awkward because the beds are, you know, not, I go, how big is this room? And he goes, super small, like a small bedroom. And there's just this curtain in between the two women.
Oh, they're smaller than the size of your studio.
He says at one point a doctor comes in and starts asking my wife about her pain and about details of her procedure. And very quickly, my wife is like, wait a minute, what? I think this is not me. What are you talking about? Sure enough.
Oh, they confused her with her roommate?
Doctor conflated the patients. My girlfriend was not having the surgery that required a discussion about, you know, an aortic valve.
Huh.
And he goes, oh, sorry, must be the other woman. And I said, I cannot believe we just talked about this today and that this is still going on. One of the things my buddy was told was as soon as, quote, a private room opens up, we will try to move your wife. But two things are going on in that room today. He said the roommate's family members and visiting friends have been in and out. And that
be expected.
Has been awkward.
Yeah.
The doctor mishap. Whoops, sorry, that's not you. That's her.
Yeah, that's not good.
Why are we still allowing shared rooms in hospitals?
Space.
Mm-hmm.
Last thing I'll say, the other patient that is sharing a room with my girlfriend is a moaner. We'll just leave it at that.
What does that mean?
She vocalizes her pain.
Oh, hell no.
Scott?
I'm out.
I am telling you, this is happening as we speak at a hospital in our area.
She's a pain moaner?
I would demand
no
a private room. Here's the other deal. When there are two people in one room, the bathroom, there's only one, has to be physically closer to patient A than it is to patient B. So you mean to tell me every time I have to get up in that nightgown with my derriere hanging out, I am now waltzing in front of Mona, patient B, and all of her ding-a-ling family and friends?
Is her name Mona?
Nice.
Thanks.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't. Why does Mona get to be closer to the bathroom? Was she there first?
I'm just saying, like, logistically, this would happen to any one of us, where there's only one bathroom, it is small. Now you're sharing a bathroom with this person, and when the doctor comes in to ask me about my procedure, I don't want ding-a-ling patient B next door to me 6 feet through a curtain hearing about my recovery.
You're really worried about this splitting of the room, and you haven't been in a hospital in 19 years.
Now,
why are we still allowing this?
We got some aggressive pushback yesterday when I said that was the norm because I thought that was still the norm. Anecdotally, that was the experience that I have had over the years as I have visited people in hospitals. I think it comes down to how new the hospital is and the ability to pay certain amounts depending on the type of people socioeconomically who frequent said hospital.
I can tell you that is not the case with my girlfriend. They would have very good health insurance and this would not be an issue. He said they were.
Well, what if the hospital doesn't have the room?
Then take me somewhere else.
Okay. But maybe that hospital's in network and the ones with the single bedrooms are not in network.
Here's my question, Scott. Are they going to cut my bill in half because I'm sharing my room with Mona and all of my personal details through a curtain?
Maybe her name's Moni.
Like Moni?
Right. You would, in 3 minutes, Scott, I know you would say, this is not going to work for me.
If it was a Mona or, and here's another one, a talker or a loud TV viewer, I would probably at some point say we need to work something out.
I don't care if it's Patrick Mahomes next to me. I don't want to be sharing information back and forth between a curtain with somebody I don't know.
I don't care if they know why I'm there. I mean, who cares?
What if you are there having a very deeply personal conversation in that hospital bed with your loved one because you're not sure if you're going to make it out? We now get to share that with the person next to me?
My guess would be, even in hospitals where they share rooms, that if your condition is so poor that you may not make it out of that hospital alive, I would almost bet my next paycheck that you get a single room.
I also asked him last night, what if the person next to you, like 3 feet away,
it's pretty close,
happens to be a survivor of a shooting? And their friends all happen to be ne'er-do-wells. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's
like,
just the unluck of the draw.
I'm in and out of consciousness, and like, you've got friends coming. Like, how do I know they're not going to steal my wallet? Like, it's just, it's a time of vulnerability.
True, but again, I go back, you know, and you say, well, just take me to another hospital, but you may not have that choice.
I would rather roll the dice and recover at home alone.
Like in the United States, even if you don't have insurance, the emergency room cannot deny you care. They have to provide you at least basic care.
Right, but this was a scheduled surgery. This was not a car wreck. So I'm just warning everybody, if you have a scheduled surgery coming up, I would ask on the front end, am I going to have people sharing my space that I don't know and all of their friends and their relatives?
Let's go to Sean in Olathe. Sean, good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I recently had an experience at said hospital where I was admitted and they had to put in a catheter while I was awake in front of the family and visitors of my next door neighbor.
Sean, did you say something? Like, no?
I absolutely said something because I've worked in healthcare for 27 years. And I know about HIPAA violations. We take the training every 6 months at the hospital I work at where we do not have roommates. And I filed a HIPAA violation.
What is the percentage, and this might just be an educated guess on your part, Sean, of hospitals that use shared rooms?
Rural hospitals, for the most part, a lot of them do share rooms. Older hospitals share rooms. This said hospital is owned by a different hospital group now, so that might change, and they may add on. And that's a recent acquisition. But for the most part, just because of HIPAA violations alone, it's a $250,000 fine.
Well, that's why I'm asking, Sean, because this was a scheduled procedure. And I've got a friend that's texting me in healthcare saying, is it possible it's a nursing shortage?
No, definitely not. It's not. I mean, yes, there's a nursing shortage. There's a nursing shortage nationwide. It's just the way it is. I mean, there's a hospital here. In one wing of the hospital, there are 83 shortages, 83 positions vacant. I know that for a fact.
Wow.
And that's just on one unit. So, yes, it's a shortage of nurses. But, for example, the patient next to me had a different nurse than I had, which I didn't make sense to me. But I demanded to be switched to another room. And they said, sorry, we don't have the other room. And I said, well, then what other floor does? And they said, the ICU, but your insurance will have to pay for ICU and you're not an ICU patient. And I said, well, this is ridiculous. You know, my privacy has been invaded. We've talked about my whole medical history in front of patient A with five visitors. And I have to speak loud enough over there talking to my physician. And it was just so uncomfortable. I've never experienced something like this in 27 years. And as a healthcare provider, I was absolutely mortified.
Sean, how long ago was this?
2 months.
Okay. Because you bring up, and I don't want to get into HIPAA because that means different things legally, but just the privacy concern where hospitals go to extraordinary lengths to protect patient privacy. We all have to sign those forms. You know, everything has to be coded. It has to be, you know, you can't shoot emails back and forth without, you know, 10 firewalls. I can't imagine
you can't even talk on an elevator.
You can't
even talk on an elevator about a patient.
So if that's true, legally, how are they doing this without full well knowing this opens them up to liability issues with respect to privacy?
You know, the only thing I could guess is they get away with it because of overpopulation or high census, a high patient census. But I can tell you what, my complaint has already gone to the state and there's already been an inspection process going in place in that hospital for this very reason.
Well, Sean, I'm sorry you went through that, but I do appreciate you sharing your story. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Okay, be well.
Sorry, is that a gentle glide catheter?
Can you please
get Marge? Marge, I can't hear over your discussion with patient A.
Well, we had mentioned women giving birth yesterday. We had somebody text on the text line saying that they gave birth in a shared room. They both had baby girls, and when they brought the babies in the next day,
they had them switched up.
They put one baby in the one mom's arms and the wrong baby in the other mom's arms.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. According to CNN, Elon Musk is reportedly in talks with Chinese officials about buying the American TikTok. Good Lord, how much money has that guy got?
Yeah, I don't know how that would work.
Too much.
TikTok is responding, we can't be expected to comment on pure fiction. Mel in Shawnee. Mel, good afternoon. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I just recently had a total knee done at a hospital, and they have a orthopedic floor, and I had a full room. Nobody shares rooms at this hospital anymore. I also had another surgery 7 years ago, and I had to stay overnight, and I had no roommates whatsoever.
Well, that certainly seems to be the trend in hospitals these days, but I don't think every hospital, in fact, we're hearing about it from other callers, not every hospital has made that transition.
Okay, but again, I go back to our listener's point that they tried to catheterize him in front of six strangers. If clinicians aren't even allowed to discuss a patient case in an elevator, doubling up rooms with patients and visitors and all of that would entail, would shatter your private. If you can't even talk about a patient without naming them in an elevator, how does doubling up rooms not shatter your privacy rights? And real quick, Scott, not to be gross, but you're also post-op sharing a bathroom at that point with all that that would entail with another person. There's no way this is best practice.
It does surprise me that the visitors were not asked to leave the room and then maybe they can come back in. But, I mean, there has to be some sort of a provision written in because shared hospital rooms are not unheard of. It's nothing new, by the way.
It used to be the norm.
It used to be common.
It's like in the 70s and 80s, but like now that we know better and we do better and the cost of healthcare has not gone down, I would be demanding half of my money back.
So, I mean, there has to be some sort of a provision in the HIPAA law that if you have a roommate, you know, they can overhear what the doctor and you were talking about. But it does surprise me that the other people in the room to the, I think his name was Jake, if I'm not mistaken, that Jake's roommate's family was not asked to leave the room while they took care of that. Very painful, by the way, procedure. I've had one done. It's awful. Feels like things are being removed from your body. One thing in particular. Julie in Overland Park, hello.
Hi, how are you?
We're doing well, thank you.
Good. I just had an unexpected hospital stay last week. I'm an otherwise young, healthy person, and I had a bowel obstruction, which is awful, awful, awful. And I can't even imagine if I had had to share a room because I was definitely wailing in pain, vomiting all over the place. It was just awful. I can't even imagine if someone else had been in that room. And I, on my side, if I had to worry about how much noise I was making in the agony I was in and on their side, that would just be unheard of.
I wonder if there's ever been like, and I would hope not, but violence in a shared hospital room. Somebody snores real loud.
I'm sure.
You're capable of actually getting up and getting out of the bed.
Somebody on the text line said they came to their roommate whispering in their ear,
no.
I could kill you and no one would know.
No, I believe this. This is the stuff nightmares are made out of.
By the way, HIPAA has a specific carve-out for hospitals and shared rooms.
I thought so.
But as a nurse, you can't discuss a patient in an elevator.
No, but it would be unrealistic to ask the other patient, Moaner, to go out into the hallway while we insert the catheter.
I think if we've learned anything today, if you have a scheduled procedure coming up,
check.
Ask on the front end.
Hey,
is
Moni,
somebody
earmuffs
that I don't know going to be seeing my back end? Because I ain't game for that.
Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. Dan Weinbaum has the news coming up in 2 minutes. My name is Scott Parks. Here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime. at KMBZ.com.